thank you, Jovindra Vandana Prabhu, for making this beautiful arrangement for all of us to get together. And Jovindra Vandana Prabhu actually wrote to me a few weeks back. It's only a couple of months back, actually. Jovindra Vandana Prabhu wanted me to come here and give a seminar on Vaishnava etiquette. And at the same time, not at the same time, recently, New Orleans devotees have been requesting me to come here, so I thought that I'll combine both these activities together, come to New Orleans and then come here, near Talavan, and have the wonderful association of you all.
It wasn't just me, I was simply the instrument. It was our community management team, and actually the request of our governing board commissioner, Dear Krishna Maharaj. The devotees wanted a guest speaker to come. They felt we hadn't had enough. And so they asked Maharaj, who was here, he could come and do a seminar on Vaishnava etiquette. Maharaj said, no, ask Bhakti Chuan Maharaj. And so they asked me to write you.
All glories to be Krishna Maharaj. Thank you. So, we all can consider that we all are here to become Vaishnavas. We all came to ISKCON. We all came to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada to avail this opportunity to become Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas literally means the worshippers of Vishnu. Vishnu means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in our context, this Vishnu actually indicates Krishna. There are various aspects of Vishnu, like Mahavishnu or Karanadakshai Vishnu, then Garbhodakshai Vishnu, then Kshirodakshai Vishnu. So these Vishnus are actually in relation to the material creation. When Krishna wants to create the material nature, he actually assumes this Vishnu aspect. And so he, as you know, he lies in the causal ocean, and as he breathes, the bubbles that are generated due to his breathing, each bubble becomes an universe. And there are innumerable universes. And then he enters into each universe as Garbhodakshai Vishnu. And then from his navel comes out a lotus, and the first living entity appears in the universe as Lord Brahma. And then in each universe he enters in the heart of every living entity as Kshirodakshai Vishnu. So, and all the incarnations are manifestations or expansions of Kshirodakshai Vishnu in different universes. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we got a higher understanding. That is, although we know that the Vishnu is coming from Shankarshana, Balaram, but that aspect of Shankarshana is in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present as Narayana. And he has different other aspects also, like Sri. In Vaikuntha, there are all the incarnations of the Lord has their abodes, like Nishindadev, Varahadev, Kurma, Bhavana, all incarnations have their places or spiritual abodes in Vaikuntha. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave us information of the region of the spiritual sky which is beyond Vaikuntha. About that region, even the Vaikuntha residents don't have the information. I mean, yes. So that is the wonderful gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives something that is beyond the Vaikuntha region, beyond the means of the residents of Vaikuntha. And that is the information about Goloka, Vrindavan. And Goloka has two aspects, and two chambers, you can say, two sides. One side of Goloka is Vrindavan or Braj, and the other side of Goloka is Navadvipa. So, in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all incarnations, Ete Chamsha Kala Pusha, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. That Swayam Bhagavan Krishna resides in Goloka Vrindavan. And that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Vrindavanam Paritta Chukutra Kadapi Navachati. And that Krishna of Goloka is not the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. That Krishna is the son of Nanda Bala and Mata Jashoda. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur summarized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift. And that is Aradha Bhagavan Brajeshwar Tama. Braja Isha means Lord of Braja. And who is the king of Vrindavan? Nanda Maharaj. And he is specifically saying that Aradha Bhagavan, the worshipable Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the son of Nanda Maharaj. And Srila Rupa Goswami later elaborated that as saying that Krishna Anna Jada Sambhuta, that Krishna who appeared in the Jadu dynasty, that is Vasudev, Krishna, the son of Devaki and Vasudev, is Anya, is a different Krishna. I mean, different Krishna, I mean, of course, Krishna is Krishna, you know, they are all Krishna's expansion, they are not different from Krishna. But he specifically pointed out that the son of Nanda Maharaj is not exactly Vasudev Krishna. The son of Nanda Maharaj is the Brajendra Nanda Krishna. Aradha Bhagavan, Brajeshwar Tama. And Spadhama Vrindavanam, his abode is Vrindavan. And Rupa Goswami pointed out that Vrindavanam Parityaja Kutra Katapi Nada. Living Vrindavan doesn't go anywhere. Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Krishna, never lives. Kadapi. Kadapi means never goes anywhere. Sardhava Vrindavan. So, our understanding, our worshipable Lord is Brajendra Nanda Krishna. It has also been analyzed in this way. And there are three aspects of Krishna, or you can say three aspects of Krishna's pastimes. One is Krishna is Purna, perfect and complete. Purna Krishna. And that is Krishna of Dwarka. And Purna Tara, more perfect. That is Krishna of Mathura. And Purna Tama, the more superlative and superlative, right? The comparative Krishna is Krishna of Mathura and superlative. The supreme aspect of Krishna is Krishna of Mathura. So that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. So as I mentioned, in Golok, there are two chambers, two prakoshtas. Or I can say two sides. One side of Golok is Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is enjoying his loving relationship with his devotees. Raja praying. He is enjoying the loving exchange. That is what is happening in Vrindavan. That's what Krishna is doing in Vrindavan. He is the lover, and everyone there are of supreme beloved, and among them Srimati Radharani is the supreme, supreme beloved. And what Krishna is enjoying in Vrindavan, in Navadvip, the same Krishna with the mood of Srimati Radharani is distributing that Krishna prema. Krishna is enjoying Krishna prema in Vrindavan, and in Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing that Krishna prema. So that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is. And that's what he does eternally in Navadvipa. Now, just as Vrindavan in India, in UP, is not the only Vrindavan. That Vrindavan is an extension of Golokana. In that respect, Sri Prabhupada gave an example. Just like the US government has their embassies in different countries. So US government has their embassy, say, in India. Now, although it's in India, that embassy is not India. It is USA. It's an extension of the United States in the land of India. Similarly, the Vrindavan on earth, Bhoma Vrindavan, is an extension of the Goloka Vrindavan. Not different. It is not like, just as US Embassy in India is not India. Similarly, Vrindavan on earth is not earth. It is spiritual. Similarly, Navadvip in Bengal is not different from Navadvip from Golok. Only at certain point, Krishna manifests Vrindavan, where he himself comes and performs his pastimes, and soon after he disappears from this planet, after withdrawing his pastimes, he appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and performs his pastime in Bengal in Navadvip. That happens only once in a day of Brahma. But one wonderful aspect of Navadvip or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes is Krishna withdraws his pastimes and goes back to the spiritual sky. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime doesn't end after his disappearance from this planet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime continues. It continues in the form of Sankirtan movement. Adya piva nitya lila kare gaura raya kono kono bhagavane dekhi paribar. Mahaprabhu is still performing his pastimes. Some fortunate souls can perceive that. And that perception is, and you can see after Mahaprabhu's disappearance, there was a decline in his teachings and his Sankirtan movement. But that movement has been revived. Although apparently it kind of practically disappeared from this planet. Or we can say it was covered over by Apasampradayas. Soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, these Apasampradayas manifested and they eclipsed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. And in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were presenting their nonsense presentation. Like their Aul, Baul, Lara, Devil, Sai, Sakhi Desi, Kanta Bhaja, Darvesh, Jati Goshai, etc. But then came Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur revived Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pure teachings were presented by him. And we can see the condition at that time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he decided to delve into Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, he was searching for a Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because Sri Chaitanya Chaitanya Charitamrita is a book that not only describes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, but it actually presents Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings in the most profound way. So he heard about Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he didn't find one. And he was a very influential person at that time. He was a deputy magistrate. And obviously he made an extensive search, but he couldn't find a single volume of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Eventually he found the copy in Orissa. Chaitanya Charitamrita was practically extinct from Bengal. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur then started to print Chaitanya Charitamrita with his giving his Amrita Prabhava Bhashya, his commentary, which is the nectarian flow of commentary, his commentary. The commentary that is actually a flow of nectar. Amrita means nectar, Prabhava means flow. Bhashya means commentary. So, and this is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually started to revive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, which were practically extinct at that time. But he was a very high-ranking government officer, so he didn't have so much time to properly propagate. But he prayed to Lord Jagannath to send him an able assistant. And as a result of that, Jagannath sent Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took up the mission of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and started to propagate. And he spread it all over India. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was to spread it all over the world. Prithivite ache jato nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar koribe manam. So he wanted to spread it all over the world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was fully convinced about that. And as early as in 1894, in his book, The Life and Teachings of, Life and Precepts of Sri Chaitanya, and Bhagavat. He printed these two books in English. And he very, very clearly mentioned that this movement is going to spread all over the world. Now, mind you, like, it was such an incredible forecast, or it was such an incredible claim at a time when India was under British rule. Indian culture was kind of humiliated and degraded, so much so that even the Indians didn't have any respect for Indian culture and India. Like nowadays we can see, there's such misconception about the Vedic teaching. Like they say, the Vedic, like Itihas, the Puranas and Upanishads and Mahabharata, these are all mythology. They of course don't say mythology, they call it mythology. Mythology means myth. Stories, fairy tales. So that shows that what happened to India due to the British influence. The British actually attacked this profound Indian wisdom because they saw that in order to dominate over this country, they have to make the people suffer from a complex, inferiority complex. And that's how they actually systematically did that. They hired scholars who were presenting themselves as the exponents of the Vedic wisdom, like Max Müller. And he was a German. He was considered to be an exponent on Vedic wisdom, Vedic literature. British actually hired him to minimize the Vedic wisdom. Anyway, so it's what can be done. Like, you know, when somebody is ruling over you, it's natural that they do that. But at a time like that, when India was under the British rule, in the height of British domination, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing that these teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is going to spread all over the world. Why did he do that? Because he had the implicit faith that the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not going to go in vain. Whatever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said is bound to happen. Because the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never go in vain. So if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then his prediction is bound to happen. And he had been challenged by people, but you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur stood his ground. Will happen. And all the religions will come under the umbrella of this teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because there is only one religion, and the world will recognize that this one religion is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is presenting. There is one Supreme Personality of God, it's Krishna. All the religions are actually speaking about that same Supreme Personality of God. Only thing is that their understanding, the level of their understanding about that Supreme Personality of God is different. Just as one subject in high school, in college and in university differs. See, physics in high school is up to one level. You go to the college, it becomes even more profound or even greater manifestation. And higher you go, the knowledge becomes more and more profound. So all the religions of the world are speaking about the one God, same personality. But in the Vedas, we have the perfect understanding of that personality. So the intelligent class of people will recognize him, that he is one without a second. So with such conviction Bhaktivinoda Thakur presented or forecasted, boldly declared, this will happen. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took up his mission and started to spread it. But he did it all over India. The way he did it, it is amazing. At that time he had 63 centers in India. Even today ISKCON doesn't have 63 centers. And he had one center in Burma. So he had 64 centers total. So, those days communication was not so easy, and Bhaktivinoda, in spite of that, he presented it so elaborate, so extensively. But his vision was not just fixed on India. His vision was towards the West. And he even sent some of his very able disciples come to the West. They didn't come all the way up to America, but they went to England and Europe, and they tried to preach. There had been some success, but those success was not at all remarkable. And in a way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was quite disappointed, because he sponsored them to come to the West, but their achievement was very little. Anyway, so, and then we can see how Mahaprabhu's prediction became fulfilled by Śrīla Prabhupāda coming to the West. And that also is remarkable, that Prabhupāda came to the West not only at a very old age, at the age of 17. Śrīla Prabhupāda came without any resources. He didn't have any money whatsoever with him. He didn't have a single dollar with him. He was coming to America. Now all he had is 40 rupees. Now you can well imagine what's the value of 40 rupees in America. He couldn't even go to a bank and cash them, because Indian currency was not recognized. I don't know whether it's recognized now, maybe it's not recognized even now. So, he didn't have any money. Somehow, in a cargo ship, he managed to come to America. He didn't even know where to go. Fortunately, the only acquaintance, only contact that he had in America, Gopal Agarwal, he sent someone to receive him in the airport, in the Commonwealth Pier, New York, and take him to a Greyhound bus that was going to take him to Butler, Pennsylvania. So that is how Prabhupada came to him. Without any prior arrangement, without any resources, at a ripe old age, 70, he comes. But then, what happened? Hare Krishna explosion. Within 1 year, Prabhupada somehow managed to get a place. Of course, it's here also we have to notice that we have to not take note that some devotees in those days helped Śrīla Prabhupāda in an immense way. One of them is Mukunda Maharaj, Michael Grant. He is the one who got the place in 26th Avenue and an apartment for Śrīla Prabhupāda to stay. Then when the movement was sort of set up in New York. Prabhupada wanted to take it to the West Coast, because at that time, West Coast was the place where everything was happening. Golden Gate Park, Haight-Ashbury, and Prabhupada told Mukunda Maharaj, Michael Grant. At that time, he just got initiated, Mukunda. And then Prabhupada asked him to go to the West Coast and set up another center. And he teamed up with his two other acquaintances and their girlfriends, and they are Shamsudra Prabhu and Gurudas Prabhu. So these three couples go to San Francisco and find a place near Haight-Ashbury, Golden Gate Park. Be aware, the real thing was happening, the counterculture. And that's how it started. And then what happened is, I'm sure it's going to be written in the golden words in history. What happened? What Srila Prabhupada achieved within this time? And in a way, if we can consider, in a way we can see that it was actually Krishna's arrangement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrangement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show the world that it was he who was making it happen. Otherwise, what can a 70-year-old man achieve in a country like America, when he came as penniless, literally penniless? And what happened is unbelievable. The movement spread all over the world in 10 years' time. And another remarkable thing to notice here, that soon after the founder's disappearance of a spiritual organization, generally falls apart. We have seen so many spiritual leaders came and set up their things, but soon after their disappearance, it all disintegrated. But ISKCON is something different. Srila Prabhupada's organization is very different from that. For example, naturally, after Prabhupada's disappearance, our movement faced many, many difficulties. I'm sure those who have been there at the time seen what happened after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. Gradually, for the time being, it seemed that everything was flourishing after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. But then it started to decline. And within a few years, it came to a situation where our movement was actually going to face so many crises. So, yes, Srila Prabhupada himself also said that after the disappearance of an acharya, there is bound to be some crisis. And when Srila Prabhupada said that there is bound to be a crisis after the disappearance of an acharya, it happened. But we used to think that it don't happen to ISKCON, because everything seemed to be so well organized, everything seemed to be so well protected. But then we saw how the crisis hit them, our institution got affected. Yes. And then we realized an acharya like Srila Prabhupada left the planet. How can we expect that and there won't be crisis. So this is how ISKCON faced a lot of difficulties. But in spite of that, we are seeing today our movement is expanding, is growing. For example, when Prabhupada left the movement, there were 108 centers. But today we have more than 650 centers around the world. In 685 cities, Ratha Jatra is being performed. So these are the indications that in spite of difficulties, our movement is moving forward, expanding. And that's a clear indication that this institution, ISKCON, is here to stay. It's here to stay. It has gone through the worst phase and it survived. So now it's going to flourish. And it has happened due to Srila Prabhupada's very, very expert arrangement. One day I was talking to a very, very, very important person. He is considered to be the richest Indian. So at that time, he's quite close to our movement. He knows our movement quite well. So he was actually telling me about Srila Prabhupada's expert arrangement in managing and structuring the institution. You know what was his analysis? Prabhupada's genius is that Prabhupada did not appoint one person as his successor. Prabhupada did not appoint any successor. Prabhupada actually created this governing body, the concept of collective management. Of course, this Srila Prabhupada inherited from his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also instructed his followers to maintain the institution by collectively, by organizing a governing body and collectively manage the society after his disappearance. But they didn't do that. They all wanted to become acharyas themselves. So many acharyas appeared, but the institution crumbled. Institution that he so expertly organized, Gaudiya Math, collapsed. An interesting thing to note actually, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave sannyas to 27 devotees. And not a single one of them fell down. They all continued without falling down, without deviating. But still the institution collapsed. The massive preaching mission that he started, that disintegrated. On the other hand, we see, of course, with a heavy heart, that in ISKCON so many gurus, so many sannyasis have fallen down. But ISKCON is still going on. Why? Concept of governing body. Because the governing body, collective concept of management is there, is holding the institution together. Individuals may have defected, but the structure remained because of this collective concept. The governing body members may have defects or difficulties or defected, but that didn't affect the structure because one person went, another person came to fill in this vacancy. So he was pointing out this is how such wonderful arrangement that he made And he also pointed out that the uniqueness of this arrangement is that no matter how powerful one individual is, if he defects, if he falls down, it's not going to affect the institution, because it's just one person. And this one person, no matter how powerful he is, cannot stand up against this collective body. And we have seen that. Had this concept of GBC or the alignment of GBC was not there, ISKCON would have become fragmented. This guru left, he would have taken his disciple and started his thing. Another guru left, his disciple, with his disciple he would have started another thing. But that didn't happen. And of course this part, much he did not go, but we can see another important consideration in that arrangement, that Prabhupada did not hand the institution over to any individual. He remained the head of the institution forever, as the founder of Acharya. This institution will always have this one Acharya, the principal Acharya, the main spiritual head, and that is Śrīla Prabhupada. Anyway, I mean, we can see how wonderfully Śrīla Prabhupāda structured this movement. And those who are, I'm sure, all of Prabhupāda, many of Prabhupāda disciples are here, and we know that how much emphasis Śrīla Prabhupāda gave to the GBC body. So much so that Prabhupāda made himself as a member of the GBC. He's the founder of Acharya, but he is one member with one vote in the Jesus. And this is how Śrīla Prabhupāda secured the movement for future. So, we are very fortunate that we somehow or other became attracted to Śrīla Prabhupāda and his movement and his teachings. And yes, we got a wonderful facility, wonderful opportunity to make our lives successful. Life has become successful. Those who are engaged in serving Krishna, his life is successful. So you may be wondering, like, I'm supposed to give a Vaishnava etiquette class, but I'm giving the history of ISKCON. The reason is that this is what we actually have to understand. This is our mission, this is our objective, and our activities and our behavior should be founded on this understanding. We all are here not only to achieve our individual spiritual perfection, but we are here with a mission to transform this material nature into a spiritual sky. That is our mission. We don't care about our own liberation, our own spiritual achievements. And that is the meaning of preaching. And Śrīla Prabhupāda has shown that. If Prabhupāda was concerned about his own spiritual perfection, then he would have stayed in Vrindavan. What could be a better opportunity than that, better facility than that? Not only in Vrindavan, a permanent situation in Radha Damodara temple, next to Rupa Goswami Samadhi. What can be a greater place to be in? But what did Prabhupada do? I mean, isn't it remarkable? Like, leave that situation at the age of 70 and come to America as a pauper. And but why did Prabhupada do that? Prabhupada was concerned about the welfare of all the people in the world. Prabhupada was concerned about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, meaning what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants the whole world to become Krishna conscious through this Sankirtan. And that's how he's establishing. Mm-hmm. He's going to establish the golden age for 10,000 years. And that is the responsibility that we have. Now the thing is, we are in an institution, now we have to function in such a way that we can help each other in spiritual progress. We can attract others to this fold so that together we all can move towards the spiritual goal, spiritual sky. Therefore, it's very important that we behave properly. Vaishnava etiquette, the way we should actually deal with each other, the way we should present ourselves, the way we should behave ourselves, the way we should practice the process ourselves. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that responsibility to Srila Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami you all know, he was a very brilliant personality. Those days, Bengal was under the Muslim domination. The ruler of Bengal was a Muslim. And you know how the Muslims are. They just don't want to patronize or support anybody, any from any other religion. But he appointed Sanatana Goswami as his chief minister.